Back here, coming up on 910 on the Mighty 690, and it is time for our chat with some of our wonderful guests here from Live Healthy Montgomery County, joined by Marcy Roberts and Emily Lewis, that is. Good morning, ladies. How you doing?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, good to have you back here in studio. So another great day, albeit a bit chilly. Hey, we'll deal with that.
Yeah, I need you to talk to your weather people.
I know. It's ridiculous. they're not observing my requests.
Mm-mm.
But hey, I think this is maybe our last little bout of winter, and then we'll be smooth sailing.
Oh, good. I like your weather prediction.
I'm just being optimistic. So.
That's good.
Hey, so I know we wanted to talk just a little bit. First of all, since maybe if folks didn't catch you the last time you were on, maybe we'll just start talking a little bit about what is Live Healthy Montgomery County? What's the coalition? What do you guys do? What's your mission?
Sure. So Live Healthy Montgomery County, actually we started out in 2017 as the Montgomery County Wellness Coalition. Just a group of like-minded people who were concerned about Montgomery County's health statistics. At that time, we were ranked 101 out of 103 counties.
That's not good
for health factors and health outcomes. And so what I mean by that is health outcomes are length of life and quality of life. So what it was saying is that most of our constituents weren't living past the age of 70. So that was kind of that for that data set. That's what it was about. And this information we've taken from the county health rankings, countyhealthrankings.org. If anybody would like to research that further. The other piece of it are the health factors, which are the conditions in which we live, work, and play. It could also be considered the social determinants of health. So, for instance, health behaviors such as the amount of physical activity you get, whether you smoke or not, obesity, the number of teen births in a county affects health and wellness. Access to clinical care, whether people are insured or not. And some of those factors have really started coming up and doing better. And mammography screening. Those are just a few things that are on there. And then there's a socioeconomic factors such as high school completion, children living in poverty, unemployment, all of those various things. So we have worked in grants that we feel have helped to affect those factors. One of them was the Chronic Disease Risk and Reduction Grant in 2017 through 19. We worked with smoking cessation and teenage smoking prevention. We went into the schools, we did some education there, and really feel like, those things and policy change, we were able to complete a tobacco-free parks policy in all four of our cities in Montgomery County.
Oh, okay. So that's where those signs came
from.
Yeah,
I was so proud of all of our cities for recognizing that and making it a safe place for children and to not be around secondhand smoke. And that includes vape as well.
Sure.
So if I want to encourage anyone, if they want to find out more about these factors or if they would like to come to one of our coalition meetings, they're more than welcome to do that as well. But it's at countyhealthrankings.org.
So how often do the people who put that together, how often is that information updated? Is there a point where we could see ourselves starting to, slide up that scale towards a better position?
Actually, it is annually, and they have sort of changed things a little bit. Right now, the last I saw was we were ranked 96th. So that's
getting
up from
better.
101. So I feel like some of the factors are working. I think maybe people are getting a hold of that, and of course more programs and policies always help to improve
Sure.
those things as well.
Well, and I'm trying to think, is this somewhat of a regional thing as well? I mean, you look at Southeast Kansas, are there other neighboring counties that are also kind of up there as far as the low scores, if you will?
Right. There's a group that's recognized in the state, which is called, our group is called the Lower Eight, which is that southeast corner of Kansas, and it includes Crawford, Labette, Cherokee, all of those, and all of them have very similar factors to ours. So, unfortunately, and it is kind of a question: why is that? Why this area is more affected by health and wellness. So definitely a good avenue to go down and say, you know, what can we do as a region to make things better?
Sure. Well, and I mean, you even look at kids, and you get into some of those former mining communities, and I know mm-hmm. we've had the conversation about lead and some of these heavy metals and stuff
sure.
could be a contributing factor as well.
Sure. In fact, there's a lot of EPA remediation right now. One of our recent grant awards was to the city of Caney for a pocket park downtown. They were awarded $35,000 for a pocket park they're going to complete. And part of that area is in the, I think they say it's a red zone, a highly concentrated EPA area. And so the wonderful thing about that is when they put the concrete over the pad, it's going to remediate that area and also make it a great gathering space. So,
yeah.
So that's exciting.
Well, that is great.
So, yeah, if you want to learn anything more about the Pathways efforts, it's at mglbpathways.org. And there's all the information about everything that we've been working on
sure.
over the last 4 years.
Well, that is great. I so. Appreciate you letting us know on that, Marcy. And I know we also talked about, you know, a few minutes ago, you know, the trend is the smoking issue and the mm-hmm. vaping and everything. And I know that especially at the school level, that vaping is really being an issue just because it's so easy to get, it's easy to conceal. And I know, Emily, we've talked here on a previous edition of the show about, you know, the work that is being done in the schools and the resources that you guys have available for the schools to help get that message across to not only the students but also to the parents about the dangers of yeah. vaping and smoking.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I said it last time, but we are implementing a program called Catch My Breath next semester, and that'll be in at least 3 of our 4 schools, hopefully all 4. And we also have just tons of literature, sites, resources. I go into the schools, or I'll take a partner and, you know, talk at career fairs and just kind of get the kids' take on everything, but also let them know what those risks and harms are, because it is so prevalent and it seems so harmless. I would say all kids in middle and high school have at least one friend who vapes. But it's also important for them to know that that's not the majority thing to do. The norm is to not vape. You know, 1 out of 5, it's maybe 1.5 out of 5 students in our county vape, according to the Kansas Communities That Care data. And so it's not the norm. And we want them to know that, certainly. And then something exciting that's happening is we are seeing more student involvement. At our last task force meeting, we had 2 high schoolers from Cherryvale come, and we just kind of picked their brain and had a field day, and they were very open and honest with us. We have one joining us that actually has successfully quit vaping and tobacco altogether, so she's a great resource for us. And that's really what we want, is the students who care and who realize these harms to get involved and help us to reach the others, you know. So we're taking a few students, actually, what month are we in? Yep, next month, in a couple weeks, we're taking probably a few from Cherryvale and a few from Coffeyville to Prevention Works in Wichita, which is a day-long, you know, event where we'll, you know, just learn from other coalitions and get to network and pick each other's brains and just hopefully learn a lot to bring back and implement in our community.
That is great. Do you think that the nicotine in vaping, is that as addictive, or is it even more addictive than cigarettes? What's the research say?
I think it's absolutely as addictive. Even a simple Google search, and obviously you want to dive in and make sure that you're do your research and make sure that it's true, but the nicotine in vapes, because they're not regulated, and the vape juice, as they call it, is not regulated, I mean, it is just astronomically higher than what you find in your typical cigarette. And you know what, they can take a puff or two here, puff or two there, and like you said, easy to conceal. So it's so easy just to kind of puff on it all throughout the day. And nicotine is one of the fastest acting addictive drugs. You know, sure. It's proven to be as addictive as cocaine and heroin. So that is insane. And that's what our kids are. It's just, you know, kind of getting out of control what our kids are getting addicted to. We recently heard a story from a girl in Copan who she had one of her lungs collapse because she had blisters on her lungs and one of them collapsed. They didn't know what was wrong. But when she was telling her story, she said she did try to quit. And she said she would set a 15-minute timer and then set 15 more minutes. And she felt like she needed it. The longest she could go without it was 2 hours. Mm. So, and that's a 17-year-old girl. Wow. So, yeah.
Another thing that we found is that 81% of kids who start vaping start with a flavored product. There are, you know, Captain Crunch, Skittles flavors. I mean, I think it's obvious that they're not marketing to adults for these flavors. And then once they get them hooked on those, then they will want more and get into, you know, the Juul and Sworn and the other, you know, stronger ones. But yeah, it's very, very deceptive how the marketers for tobacco is doing that. And there is legislation right now in Washington that's looking at that.
Right.
Now, do you run into, and I mean, yeah, I've been in high schools and I've been in colleges. Do you run into the issue of chewing tobacco as well? Is that another thing that you cover kind of when you're talking about this?
Right now, we're really focusing on the vape because okay. It has just kind of skyrocketed.
Sure.
And it's really all you hear about from the kids.
Yep.
Anymore.
Yep. That's the big thing.
Yeah, like. Absolutely.
Now, what about for the parents? You know, are there some signs maybe parents should be looking at? Because they said, oh, my kid wouldn't vape, but it's possible. You know, was there anything that, you know, the parents should know and advice for them to maybe start that conversation?
I think that, you know, there's the issue of private, you know, the child's privacy, but I think just doing, you know, regular checks. And let them know that you're doing them. Just be honest. Do regular checks through their rooms, through the house, through their phones, which, you know, you probably want to be doing anyway. And just starting a conversation with them. Look, I read this article. I heard this news segment on the radio or, you know, apparently vaping is getting out of control. What's going on with that? Do you see it? You know, just start the conversation. It can be awkward. I have a 14-year-old and it's not perfect, you know, but it's okay. If you want to talk to them about it, they want to talk back. So just don't worry about saying all the exact right things. Just ask them some questions, pick their brain. And, yeah.
Sure. I know that can always be a challenge, but it is really important. And you know, you have to remember, you know, they're living under your roof. They're under 18. They're not adults. They're
there's the whole issue of privacy now with phones and stuff, but I think it's important, you know, let them know you're doing it and mm-hmm. and look through. I want to also say we have resources if you want to contact us, shoot us a message on our Facebook page for how to talk to your kids.
Great reminder there. So if maybe also, well, I know we've mentioned it before, but, you know, if anyone, teachers, administrators at schools are listening, you guys are happy to come out and share some of that information with some of our area schools, right?
Absolutely. Any type of event or assembly they may be having, we can easily be plugged in there. We were at a career fair in Independence High School last week. So we're going to plan to make a presence at the community elementary in Coffeyville is having a carnival. So anywhere we can kind of spread awareness and just put the word out there, we want to be there.
That's right. That's great. Any other events that maybe are coming up on the calendar that you want to let us know about?
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that we are also getting some opioid funding from Montgomery County, and that is assisting with our rape prevention, as well as we're looking at doing a drug take back day. We are doing a drug take back day at the end of the month, April 27th from 10 to 2. The Coffeyville Police Department will be hosting it right outside of the building. It will be a drive through event. And people can clean out their medicine cabinets, any old over-the-counter or prescriptions. Throw it in a baggie. You know, don't want to bring anything with your name on it or anything. Just throw it all in a baggie and bring it through. They can even take liquids. So that's one event that we feel is reducing harm, reducing risk, because many times those unused medications can wind up in the wrong hands.
Yeah, that is a really good reminder. So I know we'll be talking a little bit more as that gets closer, and we're looking forward to that. But Marcy, Emily, anything else you'd like to share with the listeners here this morning?
I just want to make sure you're all following us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/MGCO Prevention.
Yes. Like our page and share.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate the work both of you ladies are doing, and I know all sorts of folks here in Southeast Kansas and Montgomery County. It is really great to hear, and we appreciate you sharing these updates with us this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks so much.
All right, thank you. Marcy Roberts, Emily Lewis here on the Mighty 690, and we do have Open Line continuing, and more of your calls straight ahead here on KGGF.